I'm Derwin Gabriel Santiago.
And I'm Elizabeth Wayne.
And we've never been wrong, ever.
This week, 500 Days of Summer and Francis Ha.
Will they make it to heaven or hell?
We'll decide.
Welcome to... Rapture. To say what I said before, yeah. We do have to study people who were living in Brooklyn and New York in the years of 2012 to 2017.
Yeah.
You have to study them the same way that we do, like, with veterans.
Like I was saying, I think we're really seeing the after effects of that in that they are stuck in that, like, time period.
Yeah.
And I am extremely jealous of them.
I know. If we were there, though, like, dancing to, like, what was coming out in 2013, like...
I mean, this was, like, right post Cobra Starship.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, the early 2000s alt-rock scene, yes. You know?
Oh, she was saying that somebody I know just saw Passion Pit.
Wow.
And it was actually...
My dream date.
It was disappointing, though, because they didn't do Sleepyhead, like, the original version. Uh-huh. They were like... We're going to try out something a little different.
Never do that.
And they did, like, a jazzy rendition of it. And she was like, I'm sorry.
We don't want that.
This is not what we asked for. Yeah.
Well, have you heard a Sleepyhead sung live? It sounds really bad.
Well, yeah. The song in itself is like.
And it's like 10 registers above his like speaking voice.
Literally. And it's like also a song that's mostly clapping.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I love that song ultimately, but people kind of aren't talking. That it's kind of like a stomp clap song.
I mean, and I have to admit right here that I was a stomp and holler. Like,
I
owned every single Mumford and Sons album.
Yeah, I was like Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros' number one fan.
I was when Little Talks of Monsters and Men came out. I was
don't
like,
don't listen to the.
I was like, I'm gonna go on The Voice and sing that. I'm gonna go on The Voice season 3 and sing that.
I have such a memory of seeing Les Mis in theaters and then coming home and listening to that song like 10 times in a row.
First of all, I love the structure of like blank and the blank being like how every band was. It was like,
oh yeah.
Did you listen to Noah and the Whale?
Yeah, it's like that the trivia question that we had the other day. It's like blank House of Cards. Yeah.
I don't, oh my gosh. I was truly in the suburbs trying to go to the metro to see like Of Montreal in high school. Like I was like, I'm gonna camp out at Wrigleyville Dogs and like watch Of Montreal. I was like, didn't even like really like their music that much, but I was like, this is what my personality is.
Well, yeah, and you had like good access to stuff.
Yeah,
like I mean I kind of did in Cleveland. Obviously it's like people come there on their tours, but like I did see Bjorn. Do you remember him?
No.
He sang like Past Lives. Past
Bjorn,
Lives.
Bjorn, not Borns. Bjorn.
No, it is Borns.
Oh. Well, to be fair, it's an O with a slash in it, right?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he's American. Yeah.
did you ever listen to Ed Sheeran?
He wants to be Bjork so bad.
Yeah, no, that was actually my cousin walks down to Electric Love at her wedding.
And that's so cute.
That, like, big buildup, like, also, like, low-key adjacent to Stomp and Holler, where it's, like, mostly it's percussive.
Kinda, yeah, Stomp and Holler.
Well, I remember when It's Time by Imagine Dragons came out, I was like, Loki, my
it's
anthem.
It's time to begin. I have to sing.
I was betting that was going to be the song that they played in Perks of Being a Wallflower when they were like, and in that moment, we were infinite.
Oh, you.
I was like, a modern take on it, maybe. I'm like, that's how I felt. That's how I felt. But they were like, really listening to like actual like cool shoe gaze
stuff. Yeah. It was Bowie, right?
I don't. It could be
when
anything.
She's like in the truck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, dream. Okay, my dream date.
Yeah, cool. And Ezra Miller's
there. Actually, all my ops, Ezra Miller and Emma Watson.
Yeah. You don't like Emma Watson?
There's something about her.
I get that.
It's nice now that like Harry Potter has been like taken down, but like she just never wowed me.
Well, she's a bad actress. Have to remember that.
Yes, yeah.
Who just happens to have incredible bone structure and can pull off a pixie cut.
That was the rock, was that she was like, well, my face is perfect. It can pull off any haircut.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I was reading Perks of Being a Wallflower at my brother's basketball games, under the bleachers, feeling so misunderstood, it was like that and like Catcher in the Rye, seventh grade. I was like, I don't like sports because it's inherently non-intellectual.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, yesterday I was at a fucking Linkin Park bar watching a baseball game that was 15 innings.
Oh, and too many. Any game, any inning of baseball is too many. I'm saying that close to the mic.
I'm like screaming from the fucking rooftops because apparently the longest MLB game was 33 innings.
Ah!
Imagine being at a baseball game for that long.
Aren't they like 9 usually?
Yes, that is almost 4 times as long as a baseball game could possibly be.
What is that, like 3, 4, 5?
I mean,
hours?
The game that we watched was 4.5 hours long.
Oh my god.
I got home at like 1 o'clock in the morning or something.
From dinner, like last night?
Yeah, we got I got dinner with coworkers, and then they were, two of them were from Detroit, so they were watching the Detroit versus Seattle. And by the way, all love to our alma mater, but the kids that are going out, granted, I was being the invasive species that night by being 27 in a bar full of 19 to 21 year olds.
What bar?
Halligan's.
Oh no. No,
we pulled up
okay
to
you did it to yourself. I'm sorry to victim blame.
I'm like, and because this is an audio medium, my face is full painted clown makeup. I'm a clown jester. My shoes are jingling with the bells on the tips. Like, we walked in there, it was so hard, but we finally found like one corner with like a little ledge to put our drinks on, and the way that people were using us as a hallway was so innovative. Because there was very clearly one way to go, and it was in front of us. Multiple people using that as an entry and exit way to get through the bar. These girls tap me on my shoulder and go, "We're just going to squeeze behind you." I go, "No, you're going to go in front of me because that's where everybody else is. You're going to wait in that line to get out, unfortunately." Yeah. And they're like, "No, it's fine." I was like, "You don't just get to hack the system and create a new area where you're pushing me into a stream of traffic, a full Zara line of girls."
Oh, yeah. Like,
I was like, I think you're going to have to go the other way, huh? And then they're like, "Oh, really? Like, it's fine." I was like, "You don't get to decide that, honey. I'm going to keep my ass up against the wall, and you're going to go in front of me."
Wow.
And they go, "Oh, right. Probably we'll just do that then." I was like, "Yeah, I think you just chose the wrong way." And then this girl goes, "Thank you so much for your opinion." And I go, "Of course. Anytime." I'm like, I felt like a fucking hag. I felt like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I felt like I was wearing a hood being like, here are my wares. I was like a full hag in this bar.
Oh my god.
All the while hanging out with like two women firmly in their 30s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So all of you were like 8 to 15 years older than these kids.
Which of course to them appears to be 45 years.
When I was a freshman in college, I thought being 25 meant you were like on the verge of death.
No,
like seriously.
Like, have fun with your last years.
Have fun. If you 25 plus was like, you automatically just became like lame and stupid, you know? And now I see that they are the lame and stupid ones.
I mean, and to quote a legend, 27 is old.
That's really scary, though. Do you think we were acting like that?
Yes, for sure. I mean, like, for most certainly. Like, yeah. Most of my, like, material when I was 21 was making fun of people for being 30.
Well, yeah, because I didn't have any respect for people that were 25 when I was 19, you know?
Here's the thing is, like, I was friends with multiple people who were 25.
Mm-hmm. And I still had no respect for them.
Well, they were like, at least I'm not 30 yet. And then now time has passed. Yeah. And they're in their 30s and they're like, I really don't respect that opinion.
Like, at least I'm not 30.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to turn 30 now.
I'm very excited. I heard the 30s are like where it's at.
I know. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be like cripplingly insecure all mm-hmm. the time. Maybe like mm-hmm. I'll like have like more of a sense of self and like.
To have a sense of self.
I know. OMG. I should try that. No, I mean, 30 seems cool now. I mean, the movie we're going to talk mm-hmm. about today is mm-hmm. largely about being at this point that we are currently at.
Yeah, which is ultimately like. We'll get into it.
I know. I mean, 27, I mean, it's probably been, like, the most secure age mm-hmm. that I've been because it's the biggest one I've been.
Well, ultimately, every day is the oldest and youngest you've ever been.
Whoa.
Whoa.
The youngest you ever will be again and the oldest you've ever been. The future. Hey, the future doesn't start tomorrow, honey. It starts today.
I think 20, and you have to remember, anyone that is older that is listening to this, don't listen to us.
Yeah.
Don't listen to us.
You inherently won't respect our opinion.
No, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I, being 21 to 24, you couldn't pay me.
Purgatory, jury duty, like.
Purgatory. I felt like I was waiting to not be 22.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a really weird time where you are still, like, ultimately 18 in the head, but, like, closer to 25, so you're, like, kind of an adult, you know? And, like.
We also had the added benefit of being that age during the pandemic. So yeah. It was, like. There was already something psychologically in the air that was not right.
Yeah.
That to also be like permanently the age where you start drinking when already been drinking for years and actually were probably I was the most alcoholic I've ever been during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was like waking up drinking a full case of White Claw.
Yep.
And like that being like the neutral part feels uh-huh. like it also colors like that part of our lives.
Yeah. Like,
23 was the worst age I've ever been in my
entire
life.
Ever.
That is the most embarrassing age to be. My heart goes out to anyone who might be 23 mm-hmm. or identifies as 23.
Right, because some 33-year-olds be identifying as like 23-year-olds
right.
with their actions.
Right, because if you are above the age of 25 in a barstool sponsored bar, you are 23.
Right, like Dave Portnoy is 23 until the day he dies.
Right.
You know, and in derogatory.
There are like some like full men in their 50s who might identify as 23.
Yeah. And they have like 4 kids.
And if
you know?
And if one of your kids is 23 and you're a specific type of father, mm-hmm. you're also 23.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that like older women like in their 80s, like really like actually old,
mm-hmm.
They're like, I feel like I am 25 to 30.
Whoa.
Like, it's like this is kind of the age where it's like, this is kind of like the best, like, you know?
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. And they say it's like your mind stays young, but your body gets old.
Oh, man. And with how my body's doing right now, I'm like, whoa, what is that going to be?
No, but ultimately, like, every year is a chance for change, so.
Right. You can always crystallize.
Right. You can, like, become kind of, like, 180 of who you are right this second whenever you want.
Yeah, and that can be positive or negative.
Definitely.
And at 23, I really learned what it was like to turn negative.
Yeah.
Like, I have, even at 26, when I was, like, going into bars and taking my shoes off, mm-hmm. have never been more depressed. Even months ago.
Not even 6 months ago.
Yeah, I was like, actually, I did it at trivia.
Yeah.
but 23, that is, I'm so scared for anybody who has to
right, get I'm over really that hurdle. Sorry.
Right.
I'm really, and you do, it is it is a hurdle you have to get over. You just have to get through it.
Right. And it is kind of like jail where, like, it's not so much time that has to pass, mm-hmm. but it's, like, you have to, like, you have to jailbreak yourself.
It's
you
like have the to eye of the storm. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really, like, kind of chaos in the brain.
And that's, okay, people who have just been the age mm-hmm. range that we are like, my Saturn return was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I like astrology, but I actually refuse to talk about the Saturn return because I don't know.
Sometimes I think if you're planning on that happening, mm-hmm. then it happens. Like, you kind of invite that in instead of it, like, happening organically.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I mean, like, 27, like, this transition into 30s mm-hmm. is a very, very interesting
moment. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, Frances Ha didn't really make it seem like it was going to be the most fun. But she's also, like, a socially unadjusted loser.
Yeah, it's like... It's,
I'll love, but she's a loser.
You can take that with a grain of salt because it's a certain, you know, personality type.
I would hope that we're nothing like her.
Which I don't
would
think
mean
we
that,
are.
Which would mean that ours will be a little bit
I'm
different.
I'm telling myself that.
it's the stories that we tell ourselves, ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, and as a reminder, if you are older than us, please disregard because yeah. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Right. Feel free to listen to the camo episode yeah, or feel free to listen to any of the other double features because right now we're really going to get into a time that might still be an open wound for you.
An open wound.
Yeah.
And maybe you feel 27 mentally still.
Right.
This is our Halloween episode.
Yeah. So.
And. That all might not make sense.
All of the scares, classic horror tropes, they're not really apparent when you first look at this episode,
no.
But when you dig into it, some things are even scarier than gore, murder, and blood.
AKA being 27 and having bangs.
Yeah. I mean, like, dressing twee.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the biggest jump
the scariest
scares.
Scariest things.
Because ultimately, what's scarier than a reflection of yourself? Because I gotta say, when I watched 500 Days of mm-hmm. Summer, I was like, am I gonna start getting into vests?
I was thinking the same fucking thing. So, okay, wait. These movies are scary to us.
Scary
yep. to us.
These are non horror genre. Horror films.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And actually, they're movies. They are movies.
Yeah, I know, you're right. They're movies.
Mean, Frances Ha, beautiful cinematography. Mm-hmm. We have mm-hmm. to give it up. Like, really bold to do a black and white movie that's set in 2012.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yeah. That's a horror movie.
It's like scarier than the fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
500 Days of Summer is scarier than Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, what keeps me up at night is mm-hmm. not that, like, my house is haunted. It's that Tom's existence.
Tom's existence.
It's the sense memory of Tom's that keeps me up more.
And clock it. 16 minutes.
And also, as a side note, Elizabeth has been going to, like, garage sales and thrift stores and finding so many abandoned pairs of Tom's.
Well, when you know to look, they're everywhere. Right.
It's like, if you don't have it in your mind, you won't see
no.
them. But then suddenly you're like, oh, remember Tom's? They're everywhere. It's they will like, be everywhere.
It's like that clip from Absolutely Fabulous.
That's Kath and Kim, by
yeah.
the way.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, dyke. Like, gay. Yeah.
It just says, like, fruity.
Yeah. It's like a produce stand, and it just zooms in on the word fruit, and then she's like, that's... Okay.
It is so funny.
That is exactly how I felt about all of the... And derogatory flair quote mm-hmm. jokes in 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
Like, they were so close to being funny. I actually wrote one joke down that I did like, and I think it might be pretty offensive.
Well, if you didn't pick up on it, we watched 500 Days of Summer and Frances Ha.
Yeah, that's, I picked Frances Ha mm-hmm. because Brooklyn in 2012 is the worst and scariest idea to me.
And I picked 500 Days of Summer because... I mean, God forbid any one of y'all's in that relationship.
I mean, and God forbid a movie about a girl named Summer ends with the punchline, "Hi, I'm Autumn." And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt looks straight in the camera, smiles, and goes, "Here we go again." This is the one thing that I wrote. They used to call me Anal Girl.
he spits out, he does a spit take.
Yeah, and they go, because I was really particular.
Because I was so neat and orderly.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. They used to call me anal girl is so funny.
Her line read on that was good. They used to call me anal girl.
Before we get into the absolute onslaught that is digging into these two movies, we can sing some of their praises, such as the cinematography in Francis Ha.
Yes.
Some of the dialogue in Francis Ha is pretty good.
The writing in Francis Ha is much better than 500 Days of Summer. Yeah, cinematography, capturing a time and a place, mm-hmm. for sure.
I like that it was structured based on, like, six places that she lived. Mm-hmm. Like, that felt like...
vignette-y. Kind
of, yeah, classic storytelling where it's, like, mm-hmm. five or six acts. Like, that's, like... that was cool. A lot of, like, the callbacks came in.
Yeah.
Like, though I do find the undateable thing being the, like, dialogue thread through the movie.
Yeah.
Both these movies end a little bit too neatly for mm-hmm. me. Like, I think that Francis Ha could have ended a little bit messier.
Yeah. Should we give a little synopsis of each?
Yeah. Francis Ha is a 2012 Noah Baumbach movie. And it is about Frances Holloway.
Holloway, yeah.
Whatever. I'm like, it's about this Greta chick.
Yeah.
She's a dancer and she has this kind of codependent relationship with her best friend Sophie. And you basically kind of watch these two friends drift apart. Frances kind of pursuing the like more juvenile, like whimsical sort of creative dreams that they had in college. And then Sophie kind of follows a more traditional sort of path, like mm-hmm. getting more serious with
Patch.
That is, I just got full body chills. Naming a character Patch, that's funny.
Who works in finance,
they moved to Tokyo because he's so good at budget coverage. Yeah.
Okay,
I'll give it to him. And he wears like, I love that they were like, ew, and he's one of those guys that wears vintage baseball caps.
I know.
Gag on
no, pre-distressed it. Baseball yeah, pre-distressed caps. Baseball.
I'm like, some of the joke writing is
it
really
soft. It was funnier
like,
in Francis Ha.
It reminds me of Girls, but it's not as biting as Girls.
Definitely.
Like, it tries to take a little bit of realism into it, mm-hmm. which I get into this gripe that I have about both of these movies, is that they don't really take a full stance ever yeah. of, like, whether or not it's trying to be, like, really, really funny or not.
Yeah.
Which I find to be cowardly.
Yeah.
In movie making. I digress. Basically Sophie starts like moving away and you watch Frances kind of spiral.
And move in with Adam Driver and that guy from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I know, which obviously yeah. I have to walk away from the mic really quick. But smash! Love those guys. Also, that one girl from that Adam Brody and Kristen Bell show was in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was when that scene came on, I was like, wait, all these people are about to like have careers.
It was a meeting of the minds a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because she's the character that famously introduces the line, 27 is old.
Yeah.
Because she goes, oh, really? You guys are the same age? You just like look older. She's like, I'm actually younger than Sophie. And then the girl goes, yeah, but like your face.
Which is like... that was funny.
I mean, exactly what happened to me with my brother.
Yeah, yeah.
When his kids were like, wait.
His kids.
I mean, my brother's kids are like, so who's older, you or my dad? And I'm like, definitely your dad, but who do you think is older? Well, they're like, you. You're like 100. Because they don't know my age. Yeah. Whatever. I have to back off.
Yeah,
they're just kids.
You're going to get, yeah. They're just kids.
They're just kids.
They're literally under 10 years old.
They just wanted to be like 6'7" and la boo boo. That's all. Oh, apparently Penny went to her classmate had an Italian brain rot party at David
what?
Buster's. Yeah.
How?
That's a birthday theme. They're 8.
Oh, Italian brain rot?
Mm-hmm.
Getting into over there.
they're like Capicola ballerina or whatever. Like,
okay, I'm putting that more on the parents for allowing that to happen.
Well, my brother recently had to take away the iPads.
Oh.
So they had the summer they didn't have iPads.
did they see a change in behavior?
Yeah, they just found like other jokes to laugh at, really. Mm-hmm. But they're not so like dependent on it as much, but they're like, when I'm there, they're like, I want to show you the stuff on my iPad.
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
I want to show you my Hello Kitty Island. And I'm like, that's fine. That's
right, because I would also like to have a Hello Kitty Island.
I know, I'm like actually low-key jealous, and I'm going to get it on my phone. But That's a long-winded Frances mm-hmm. Haas synopsis. Do you want to get into 500 Days of Summer?
Yeah. So
as she like sighs in her Smith's hoodie.
Yeah, I did put on my Smith's hoodie for the occasion. So 500 Days of Summer, 2009 movie directed by Mark Webb, who went on to direct all the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies.
Oh.
So he's rich as fuck now.
Okay, but come on. Your last name is Webb and you're directing the Spider-Man yeah. movies.
Little on the nose. On the nose.
It's like when someone's last name is Cobbler or like Baker. I'm like, really?
Okay, we know what your ancestors did. So it's about two characters. This is not a love story. They say that up front. They're twisting the structure.
Like Zooey the way I'm watching your brain short circuit right now, like, is it turning into like burning toast? It's like,
so Zooey Deschanel is, and I'm emphasizing this was 2009. Mm-hmm. Okay, Zooey Deschanel is Summer, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, hi.
Ultimately,
yeah. We have some gripes, but like ultimately, hi.
Yeah.
Is Tom, and they meet each other at work at a greeting card company.
Like, it's the specificity that's here is just so
time and place.
Yeah.
And he kind of falls madly in love with her. Mm-hmm. And she it charts the course of their relationship, and mm-hmm. it ends with them not being together and breaking up. And it kind of has some things to say about, like, relationships. It kind of paints women into this, like, corner of being, like, cold bitches, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. This movie had a real impact on me when I was 13. Like, for real. It was, like, my favorite movie for 10 years.
I had a complete misunderstanding of this movie when I first watched it. Because, to be fair, we were, like, 10 and 12.
Yeah. And it's, like, you have... You know, you only have 10 and 12 years of life experience behind you, you know?
And when you see Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you're like, well, he's hot. He could do no wrong.
Yeah. I have a crush on that guy.
And they're doing cute stuff like walking through IKEA.
Exactly.
They're so quirky.
And they remind me of like my cousin's friends, you know? Yeah. Like my parents' students. Like, yeah. The music is really good. Mm-hmm. The cinematography, like the vignette-y kind of like split screen things are cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the classic meme format, expectations versus reality, was crazy to include in your movie, by the way.
That hit me like a ton of bricks when I was 12. And then
now you're watching it being like, that's a meme.
Meme. And it's also like, so like, oh my God. Like, doesn't this happen to everyone? Like, expectations versus reality.
It is so boohoo for me.
It's like so
throwing yourself a pity party, being like, I didn't get to fuck my girlfriend at a wedding.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend that's like engaged now.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I have some gripes because I'm watching this with like a developed prefrontal cortex.
Right. And you're like, I'm also not going to third grade after watching this movie.
I remember biking to the library in the summer between eighth grade and freshman year, getting this on DVD and getting Saint Elmo's Fire on DVD and watching both of them like back to back to back to back and mm-hmm. being like, oh my God.
Is this movie the reason that people started really wearing the Joy Division shirt?
I think so.
Like that. I do like the music in the mm-hmm. in the film. Mm-hmm. Obviously I was like, that was what was helpful from this film at that age, was like, it showed me some music that I really like now.
We're dogging on it, but it introduced me to the Smiths, who are like one of my top five favorite bands, you know, like
we've got to give it its roses because it's mm-hmm. like, it's our queer elder. And it's queer in that the relationship fails. Relationship fails, which means it's queer.
It informed me in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and I will thank it for that. I hate the way it is and what it means and what it says.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially to the point of like underwriting the women to an extent, it's on purpose, mm-hmm. and then also to another extent, Zooey Deschanel is pretty upfront with her. Like, if you are watching this movie thinking that it's a straight movie, she's upfront with her feelings the entire time.
Yeah,
And that's something that I completely didn't understand as a child.
No, I was totally taking his side.
Yeah, well, because we also just get to see how sad he is over it. And, like, you don't know about projecting onto somebody when you're a child. And then now, after having even a little bit of experience with, like, relationships, you're like, oh, yeah, you can just fall in love with
the idea of someone.
The idea of someone. And, like, well, okay, here's the thing. This movie was written by two guys, and I think one of them, it's, like, based pretty closely on his a relationship that happened to him.
Boo fucking who.
Boo fucking who. And that's why it seems so, like, personal against... And it, the movie literally opens with him being, like, this... Like, a text thing comes up, and it says, this is not... Like, any appearance to, like, someone in real life is, like, happenstance or whatever, except, like, Jenny Beckman, bitch. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. That. And I'm, like... Oh my god, this is how we're going into the movie.
Yeah.
What? Like, you're, like, full government name, my ex-girlfriend, bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, that's, like, just truly not even, like, that funny.
No, like, it's so, oh my god, it's so millennial, like, kind of murpy, kind of, like.
It's, like loser, it's just loser behavior to, like, use your movie as, like, a diss track to a girl that was just like, I just didn't want to marry you. Like, is that so, like, bad that a woman wouldn't want to marry you? You're making a movie about how bad she is after too. I'm like, right, you would be undateable after that.
Yeah, to, like, thread the needle between the two movies, undateable. Yeah.
Loser behavior. Both of these movies are about losers, by the way.
Fucking losers. Everyone's a loser.
Like, just be like normal and people might want to hang out with you.
Well, okay, that's the
sorry.
No, here's the thing with, like, both of these movies and, like, Frances Ha more so. It's like, this movie, I think, spoke to a lot of people.
Yes.
And I'm like, it should not speak to you.
Right.
If you're acting like that, you are an annoying person.
Yeah.
You know?
That is, like, the thing. I was watching Frances Ha, and I was, like, literally Googling, why do people like this movie?
Why do people... It has a 4.0 on Letterboxd.
And Letterboxd is not a very kind platform.
No, no.
Some of my favorite movies have, like, 3.1s. Mm-hmm. And the way that people treat Frances Ha is, like, how we were treating 500 Days of Summer as literal children.
Yeah.
They're, like... Not for nothing, losers writing think pieces on Medium, being like,
the subtle radical feminism in Frances Ha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ultimately, like, you're still just writing a blog, chica.
Like, yeah. Like,
if you can get...
Because you are her.
Yes. I mean, like, she's not an aspirational figure.
No.
And, like, maybe the movie also wants... No, no, no. The movie, like, wants to paint a subtle portrait of how... difficult it could be to be in this transitional period, which is fine.
Yeah.
I like a lot of those movies. I think Tiny Furniture does a really good job of the, like, going from college into the, like, real life or the workforce after college.
Girls does it better.
And at least Girls is, like, really biting with its satire, like, making fun of, like, gentrification and stuff.
Yeah.
But then, like, you really just get to see Adam Driver in a bowler hat in this being like, oh, I can just pay for it. I got money from my dad last week.
Yeah, right.
And
like, yeah.
And, like, that is subtly funny, but it's like, it doesn't 100% go there.
No.
And it actually, like, sympathizes some of, like, the loser behaviors that Frances has.
Well, it's almost like the call is kind of coming from inside the house. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't think it can be a satire because the people writing this are these, like, New York intellectuals.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, maybe if you were, like, a little funnier about it, you know?
Yeah, you can get away with anything as long as you're fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I don't really see a lot of the comedy in this movie. Like, sometimes when it's being a little too, this is a joke, I hate it. I hate the dialogue.
Yeah.
There are, like, some funny parts of the movie I'm not even sure I could name.
I remember, I mean, I just watched it last night, but I laughed out loud at a few things.
I'm like...
Because they were objectively something funny that was happening, but, like, not, like, this is a funny movie.
Yeah. It's only a comedy in that it could never be a drama.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's why this episode really is about reclassifying these movies as neither comedies or romance movies, but classifying them as horror
movies. Yeah.
Psychological thrillers. Horror, yes. Like, this is my Shutter Island.
Yeah.
When he just falls in love with another girl at the end, like, I'm like, that is almost as big of a twist as, and her name is Autumn. That is a fucking M. Night Shyamalan.
No, it is. It's The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, hi. I'm Autumn.
And it's Minka Kelly. Like, okay.
I love.
Yeah, I think I do like that Frances Ha was more about like friendships than romantic escapades. You know, I thought that was kind of like a more unique approach to take, because it'd be really easy to just like do dating and, you know, your late 20s and like blah blah blah.
I did cry at the end a little bit, because I do like the monologue that she says at that party where she's also being an antisocial loser, where she's just like way too drunk. Maybe it's because I saw myself too. Like, I'm like, I'm always blabbering on in like some like esoteric thing. When you find out she's a semiotic student while she's like really drunk, she's like, I'm actually way smarter than Sophie. I read way more books. Like, she doesn't even read, and I actually read.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Laughing at her style. But she does that monologue about like when you see your person, but you're at a party.
Yeah.
But you're watching each other, and then you finally make eyes, and then it happens at the end. It's like, that did make me tear up. I'm like, that is really sweet. Because you did
the
watch
them.
The
beats were there. A good story.
Totally. And, like, obviously that guy's going to make a good movie. And, like, Greta's a good writer.
She's a good, great writer. Not a good actress.
No.
Can we say that?
Yeah, no, okay. That's totally fine. I thought that her line readings were pretty, pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's a great mover. Like, I think that the modern love scene with the David Bowie when she's, like, running down the street, that's really funny. Oh, I actually laughed out loud when she got denied her check at the bar for dinner.
Yeah.
That's a funny situation, like being like, oh, I finally have money, I'm going to blow it all on a dinner. I'm like, that's kind of a funny critique on like that time period of like millennial culture. Like, that's,
I thought that scene was kind of like murpy. Like, their line reads were kind of like, who's going to pay? Yeah. You know?
If you're here, who's flying this thing? Like, that is exactly how I feel. I mean, there is like subtle nods in both of these movies to like genre. Like, genre.
Yeah.
Like, obviously they're trying to like do like Manhattan, like from like, some 70s references and like the fucking flash mob that happens in 500 Days of Summer. The fucking cartoon bird flies on his hand.
Yeah.
Like, that is like, that is a pretty unsuccessful reference to me. Like, that was, that felt so like LOL.
500 Days of Summer is very on the nose, and it's very like tell and don't show and don't tell. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like he like goes and has sex with her one night and then comes back and is like doing a full like choreographed dance with the entire city.
Like, I'm like, okay,
this is hard. I also have to get in front of the rumors. I did audition for my senior play with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's monologue about how bad the greeting card industry is. I'm like, I think we do a bad thing here.
I quit.
It is funny to like take up war with the greeting card industry. That was a funny joke. I'm not sure how it's like, I cannot tell where they're like, this is the joke.
In either
of these movies. And I think that if you're not completely like a sharpshooter in your satire, then you have unsuccessfully created satire.
I watched Drop Dead Gorgeous like immediately after I watched these two movies, and I'm like, this is satire. This is funny. Like, lean into it if you're gonna do it. Like, I know they're not trying to make that kind of like Christopher Guest style like thing, but you can lean into it a little more and make it a little more obvious of what you're trying to do,
right? And not like just by breaking the fourth wall or by having a narrator. Like, that feels like those are too easy.
But you should know up front, this is not a love story.
That is so, I'm wearing Converse at my wedding.
And I keep bringing it back to Merp. Like, Merp. That's what I mean when I say that. Like, Merp.
colon slash.
Yeah.
Your short circuiting again.
I'm short circuiting.
I will say the IKEA scene is really good cute satire.
Yeah.
Like, It's like literally playing house. And it's set in like this like commercial establishment.
Yeah.
So it's like all about artifice and like very clearly his own projections. Mm-hmm. And like I just thought that scene was cute when I watched it as a kid. But like now I'm like, this kind of has some good stuff to say. Like there's like at least like a point of view here. Like you going and pretending this is your life.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, if you
they
do
were
that,
30 days into knowing each other. I clocked that this time.
That is some like crazy shit that you do with someone when you're like so horny and in love with them. Is like let's go be public nuisances.
Nuisances.
I mean like the penis game. Some shit that I also played. That's some shit that you do when you're 15.
Yeah.
It's like that fucking John Mulaney joke at the trivia. Mm-hmm. Like when those full adults, like in firmly in their 40s, were like, wouldn't it be so funny if we did this?
Right. This bit from 10 years ago.
I'm like, y'all are not as fun. But when I do it, it's funny. But when I do really annoying shit in public, it's mad funny.
Mad funny and no one says anything.
Yeah. I mean, I have a collectivist kind of view of jokes. It's like the more the merrier. I hate inside jokes. I hate when people are like purposely being exclusive about their jokes. That might change from the next episode. Mm-hmm. But right now, that's how I feel.
No, I get it. Okay. Here's my gripe upon rewatch of 500 Days of Summer. I think it's actually a little nefarious how this movie set up a kind of like culture for like this specific type of people, like these kind of indie alternative guys in real life, to kind of treat women poorly, you know, because it gives this guy kind of a sympathetic pass for like not listening to so like if you haven't seen it, Summer is like very upfront at the beginning. She says, I don't believe in love, I don't want a boyfriend, like 2 weeks into knowing each other, you know, and he like just completely disregards her the entire time. But it's like you don't necessarily clock it because he's like kind of this unassuming guy that wears like Joy Division t-shirts and blazers and like Joseph Gordon-Levitt is charming. And so I think it just kind of sets up a pattern of behavior that maybe like people kind of took from that. And I don't think Summer is like a perfect character. I think she like definitely like led him on and like kind of strung him along a little bit. You know, but, like, God forbid a woman doesn't want to date you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that, like, one, her stating her intentions at the beginning, being like, I am no one's girlfriend. I will not be someone's wife. I just think, like, this time of our lives is to have fun.
Yeah.
And then he reads into everything. It, like, kind of culminates in that moment when that guy is harassing her at the bar.
Yes.
And she's very firmly standing up for herself, being like, I already said no thank you. Please leave us alone.
And then he punches him.
Yeah, I'm like, so do you see, like, that scene in itself when he gets home holding the ice to his face? He's like, dude, like, I'm your boyfriend. Like, he gets to make all the decisions that are, like, reckless and now violent.
Yeah.
And Summer is just like, I do not like this. Like, this is not what I signed up for. And he's like, no, I'm your fucking boyfriend. Like, you don't just hold hands and kiss and fuck the person that you're, like, not dating. And she's like, well, I guess that we, like, you can see on her face, like, I guess this isn't what...
No, he, like, strong-armed her into a relationship.
Yeah,
you know?
When she never, like, consented to, like, that level of, like... I mean, like, also, a relationship isn't about possession, and very clearly that's what he thinks a relationship should be. Which also muddies the kind of, like, ethical sort of thing. It's like... Yeah. So, like, basically, like, you want, like, possession over her, and you want everything to be on your terms when she has already stated hers. It's just, like... That, and then I hate that, like, she cowers back and goes to his house in the rain. I'm like, that is, that feels like an inversion of the romance genre. But in the worst way. Like, it's not subversive. It's, like, actually just like, yes, I'll always just be, like, a little obedient. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. I'm like, why are you sorry? He punched somebody. I would not talk to that guy for weeks.
No,
like, I would get the fuck away from that guy.
Okay. What stood out to me in that scene was, like, their conversation before that guy came over, where he was, like, looking at those other women that were, like, sitting at the bar, And he's like, oh, I hate the way, like, women are dressing these days. Like, it's all about, like, handbags and tiny dogs. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I think people can dress however they want. Like, people like what they like. And he's like, I like the way you dress. And she looks, like, actually disgusted. No,
I have full body chills thinking about, like, I want, like, a trad wife. And she has to be exactly like this. And I'm glad that you're, like, this way. And she's like,
yeah.
What? You have just fetishized me in front of me? Like, that
you know,
is...
like, literally.
That must be a... truly scary thing. I mean, like, it's happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, must probably, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it is so weird to have someone plainly state that, like, you're their little fantasy in front of you.
Okay, and this is kind of what I was getting at and why it's nefarious to me, because it's like, it's not this traditional, like, structure of, like, well, actually it is. That's, like, how a lot of, like, heterosexual relationships are, and relationships in general, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's not traditional, like, trad wife where he's like, I want you to stay home and cook and clean and like be this kind of, like, picture femininity, but he is like, I like you a certain way that is this ideal I've, like, put in my head, like, you're the cool girl, you're the, like you like the Smiths, like, and if you deviate from that, like, that's not right, mm-hmm. you know? And she's like, "What? So what if I want to get a fucking butterfly tattoo on my ankle, you know?
Yeah.
But it's more nefarious because it's like, from the outside, it doesn't look like, it looks a little more like modern kind of like.
But it's just like dressed up in new fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the same exact power structures and the same amount of like control and manipulation, but it's like more socially acceptable or something.
Exactly.
Because it's like, well, he's not going home and hitting her.
No, but like, he's dimming, like, her fucking light, yeah, you know?
Her summer.
Yeah. I'm like, I was so on her side, you know?
And I mean, like, her outfits are really fierce, unfortunately.
She looked amazing.
Yeah.
She looked amazing.
I'm like, and the fact that it was never a wig.
It was never a wig.
It was always her hair. Mm-hmm. That would be a style where I'm like, because when it's, like, pulled back crazy, you can, like, start losing your hair, or if they're, like, dying all the time. Mm-hmm. Zooey Deschanel just had to get in there and blunt that bang.
Yeah, blunt that bang.
Like, walk into set, get a fresh bang trim. Mm-hmm, and she walked out there and stunned.
She stunned, and she set off probably 10 years of, like, iconic influence on a certain type of person.
And I mean, like, I was
on a girl like me.
I was like, trust and believe that my favorite shirt was a navy blue polka dot button up.
Oh, well, can I tell you, my favorite dress was a polka dot sweetheart neckline A-line dress from Target red lipstick because of her, because of Zooey Deschanel.
And were you wearing the ballet flats?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Are you kidding
Screaming
me?
Screaming at the top of your, like, yes. Of course.
I would still wear that dress. It was cute.
It's cute. And honestly, Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jess.
Who's that? No, that type of person is, like, very comforting to me because it, like, reminds me of, like, people I grew up around in that time period, you know?
To use Tween its original definition, it's like quaint.
It's quaint.
It's quaint and comforting.
It's
and
birds.
Like, yeah.
It's anthropology.
It's put a bird on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still funny.
I was also reading some Twee history and stuff, and, like, in Britain in, like, the 60s or 70s, it had to have been more, like, maybe, like, 80s, 90s, but it's, like, Twee was, like, a reaction to Thatcher, and, like, it was, like, a different strain of punk, and the amount of, like, progress that they made in music.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, that brand of Twee was at one point some kind of subversion, or it was transgressive in some ways, because it was, like, I'm not gonna buy clothes straight off the rack, like, I'm gonna wear vintage clothes, which at that time is kind of, like, inherently more punk.
Yeah.
In one way or another. And then I think that this period of, like, the 2010s being usurped by, like, Americans and, like, these, like, pseudo-poor Brooklynites and the hipsters and, like, those refashionings of the Twee identity are where we start seeing the, like, the neoliberal rot, the, like, the weird capitalism thing, like, there's, like, a genre of, like, art called, like, post-colonial wanderlust, where it's, like, a bunch of, like, it's, like, steampunk, but cuter.
Okay.
It's, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, the Neutral Milk Hotel art, yeah, like that kind of stuff. Like that's
like where, the greeting cards they do at the, in the movie.
Literally. Yeah. And like that is like truly what gives birth to places like Foresighted.
Yeah.
And like
in a Trader Joe's bag.
Yes. And like the lineage there, it just gets like mutated in mm-hmm. this like really scary, like the MERP has like turned into a way to be a wolf in sheep's clothes, kind of, where like yeah. you are just as like a like disgusting guy
exactly
as any like conservative guy might be, but like you just like good music.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say, and I could not get there. Yeah, so thank you.
No problem. I mean, like, because you do see it like right now with the like performative male
yes.
thing that's going around like that.
They don't even like good music. That's the thing. It's well, Clara. They do.
It's Clara.
Yeah, right. It's Clara.
But I mean, like, I mean, we can't even get into this. That's a no, whole other conversation. No. But yeah, this is like the birth, in my eyes, like this era yeah. of the late aughts in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Where people just become losers.
And the thing is, ultimately, I am kind of jealous of them, of people that got to like come of age. Mm-hmm. Not right now, because
I know even that recent of the past would be cool yeah, to have grown up in.
Even better,
Francis in Hamood.
Francis in Ha City.
Okay, when I guess I didn't really watch it the first time because I was so pissed the fuck off. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you're friends with me on Letterboxd, I looked at all of your reviews of Francis Ha, and man, some of my opinions are changing about y'all.
They were all like 4 stars. I really thought.
I saw a couple of 5-star ratings for Francis Ha.
Are we crazy?
I think that you might have been Stockholm Syndrome. You might be owed money if you have a 5-star review yeah. of Francis Ha.
Okay, well, I was also looking at like on Reddit about like 500 Days of Summer. People love it. And they're like, it's like this really good critique of like relationships and like we've all been there and like that kind of relationship. And like.
I guess.
Are y'all. Who's misreading this, me or you?
I mean,
you
know? Like, that might just be,
and
like,
I'm inclined to say not me.
It might truly be, and this is a tangent that is okay because it's going to be a horror movie, mm-hmm. but you know The Village?
Is that M. Night Shyamalan? Yeah.
It's like all of these people who were traumatized at the same time now just live in their little Reddit community that allows them to insulate themselves from, like,
real opinions.
Critical thinking. Yeah. Like, I were, like, actually liking other movies.
Yeah.
And, like, by the way, if this is your favorite movie, are a lot of movies. There are a lot of mm-hmm. movies that you can also see.
There are a lot of movies.
That's just a true fact. There are a lot of movies.
Well, sometimes I'm like, where do you guys see yourself in this?
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, is it a cautionary tale? Is it, like, you just look back and you're like, oh, I've been there.
Is
like,
it a fable of some sort?
Yeah, you know? I would love to actually like see the mythological mm-hmm. space it takes up in your brain. Like, is it just maybe have you not seen it lately?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, like let's watch it with some fresh eyes, yeah. some new life experience.
Yeah, I mean like to say it's your favorite movie, I think that you've had to have watched it within this like a year maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just to keep it updated, just to make sure that that's still your opinion.
Yeah. Okay, here's my thing with Francis Ha. No, I just am saying it like ha.
Francis Ha.
How much is it like a real look at like the life of like a struggling artist?
It's not.
It's not.
That's
right?
That's why the people like it are also like and all love to you guys, mm-hmm. but like middling artists that are like, I just want to make it. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, if you're making art to make it, mm-hmm. I don't know if you have the right intentions. Like, you should yeah. want to make art to say something. You should make art to, like, express something.
Right, that you're inherently feeling.
Yeah. Like, I love when, like, people talk about songwriting as, like, it's something that keeps me up. Mm-hmm. It's something that, like, actually, like, gets in the way of my, like, social life sometimes. Because I'll be talking to someone and be like, oh, sorry, one second. Like, that's a tortured artist.
Right, right, right.
Or, like, your financial circumstances might be what tortures you. Mm-hmm. Like, there is nothing bad about the apartment that she was living in Brooklyn.
No! Like, why don't you just get another roommate off of Craigslist? Like,
one of the best jokes in Frances Ha is when she's like, no, I'm poor. And then she goes back home for Thanksgiving. And then,
into, like, probably what is now worth, like, multi-million-dollar house in Sacramento. Like,
yeah, and then she's also like, I think I want to go to Paris. And then her dad is like, I'll pay for it.
Did she put it on her credit card?
I don't know. She says, like, something where, like, the dad, like, the parents are like, oh, we'll give you money or something.
Oh, yeah, like, sorry, we can't help you out. Yeah. You know? And, like, I don't know. It's, like, I don't know.
About what?
I'm trying to think of, like, my thought that I want to say. It's, like, I see myself in, like, her in the way because it's, like, I'm also a blonde white woman that's, like, 27. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And we kind of have, no like, choice. The same haircut right now. Except my hair's a little longer. But, like, we still have those. We have those kind of bangs.
And curly.
Yeah.
Your axis of marginalization would be curly hair.
Curly hair. And, yeah, like, trying to figure. That's how I see. I guess I empathize with her in that I'm, like, trying to figure my shit out, too. Mm-hmm. In, like, the same age range. Right. But, like, it's, like, girl, you can figure your shit out and, like, also, like, be able to, like, pay rent. You know what I mean? Like, she was offered a job, and she's, like, I don't want to do that.
I should be dancing. I refuse to do anything but dancing. I'm, like, if you're actually struggling with money, you would probably just take the job.
You would just take the job, like, be a waitress, like, do something.
Right.
And I was also kind of confused because did she want to be a writer? But we never saw her write.
Sophie was the writer.
Oh.
Sophie wanted to work in the, like, literary industry. Yeah. And she was working at Random House and then gave up her job to move to Tokyo.
Yes.
And then Frances is a dancer. She's, like, a modern dancer.
Okay, I think I was misinterpreting this because I thought she was trying to be, like, a writer and was just kind of doing dance.
No, very classically, that's Hannah Horvath. Hannah Horvath was the writer. Yeah. Frances Ha is the dancer. Okay. Tom is an architect.
Yes, and Summer is there.
A woman. Yeah. Her occupation is womanhood.
With bang.
Is being a girl.
Being a girl.
Is just being a girl. Just girly things.
Yeah, but it's like this, like, self-made victimhood thing that, like, I just cannot. I'm like, I, like, really don't have patience. Yeah. You know,
I don't have sympathy. And when I was reading those, like, blogs and stuff, being like, it's the most perfect portrayal of, like, watching somebody who has a dream and gets alienated for only wanting to follow their dream. I'm like, by the way, that's such, like, antisocial loser behavior to be like, I only care about myself, and mm-hmm. I will have nothing but fame. Like, I deserve fame.
Right. I deserve it. No, you don't.
I'm like, but she doesn't seem like that good of a dancer, low-key.
That's the thing that I was also confused about. She does not seem like a good dancer.
Even her piece at the end, I'm like, yeah, that looks good. That was kind of bad, right? Like,
Kyle and I were, like, actually laughing out loud.
I'm like, and I appreciate in movies when they, like, do a movement piece to kind of, like, I like the La La Land movement piece.
Noah Baumbach loves to be in, like, a black box theater. Yeah. In his
You look broke. I'm sorry, you look broke. Yeah. They filmed that at, like, fucking UCB Chelsea.
Yeah,
improv theater that has holes in the wall and mice. I'm like, that is, it is funny. It is funny. And I think, like, not for nothing, a cool film thing to do is, like, have a movement piece in it.
Yeah.
But, like, if we're supposed to, as an audience, be like, that's her talent, I just don't.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. I mean, like, to be, like, a middling artist of any sort and then have this movie be, like, exactly. I'm like, dream bigger, girl. You might want to dream a little bit bigger.
Let's go to grad school, girl. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Like, I think, not to be Fran Lebowitz right now, but maybe let's let the people who have talent have the talent.
Be Fran Lebowitz. You know what I mean? Like, she has good shit to say.
More people have to watch that clip and be like, yeah, if you have the talent, you should write a book. But not everyone should be telling their story like that. Like,
no.
That, like, maybe what you want to do is work more on a personal level and, like, you know, be a good
person,
member of society.
Yeah, let's by not sharing be a your fucking story. Menace.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, really what this film affirms, I think, is, like, everyone deserves to be, like, this, like, famous thing. You should chase your dreams. And, like, yeah, by the way, those things aren't mutually exclusive, chasing your dreams and, like, being a functioning member of society. Like,
you can still be a nice person and, like, not a nuisance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, that's what the DNA of both of these things share is, like, you guys are just annoying. Like, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why people aren't in love with you or you're not getting what you want.
Right. Because, like, but, like, you won't see that.
You're annoying.
And I think it's kind of, I can't, it's not, like, all, like, there was that kind of possibility, that kind of possibility in that time of, like, you could achieve your dreams if you wanted to.
Right.
You know, that, like, I think people were still buying into a little more than mm-hmm. they are now.
For sure.
And so I don't blame the characters for, like, following their artistic passions. But I again, in a similar way to 500 Days of Summer, I think it gave a lot of, like, white women a pass for, mm-hmm. like, a lot of shitty behavior.
Right. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It gave them an archetype. That's yes. the mythological thing that, like, oh, I finally have an archetype that, like, understands that, like, my life can be hard too.
Right, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I literally read a Frances Ha thing being like, and yeah, upper middle class white people have problems too. I was like, that's never been an issue. That has never been something.
No one's ever questioned that.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, your life can still be sad and you can have money at the same time. Like, that's not what we're trying to say with this.
No, exactly.
That's not what we're trying to say here. We're just being like, don't be fucking annoying.
Don't be, yeah, it's like this like, woe is me kind of, like, whatever. And we've all had periods where it is woe is me.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Like, no shame there. Like, we all go through it. But, like, that can't be, like, your quintessential archetype, I think.
And you can't, like, put that on other people, you know?
Yeah.
Of, like, I think she, her relationship with Sophie, she was mad at her because she was, like, kind of, like, achieving these, like, goals or, like, kind of doing something, and, like, she wasn't. It was just mm-hmm. like such mega projection that it was, like, hard to watch her, like, self-destruct that relationship.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, like, especially when it's like, I broke up with my boyfriend because I wanted to keep our apartment, and Sophie's, like, kind of in the same way that Summer is upfront with her
mm-hmm.
stuff. Frances has, like, the inverse, where it's like, oh, I just assumed that we would keep our lease, so I broke up with my boyfriend. And Sophie's like, well, we never said that.
Yeah,
so,
why,
like,
would you why do would that?
We, like, why would you ruin your life and say, like,
right,
it's my fault
that exactly.
I'm doing other stuff. And, like, I hate that it's, like, Sophie follows a more conventional path, so that she's, like, in the story, the villain.
Exactly.
When it's, like, Frances is the villain.
Frances is the fucking villain with, like, everyone she meets. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, she's a public nuisance, mm-hmm. and then also, like, the only person in her own way in terms of money.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She, like, and then she gets the office job and she's like,
fine.
She's having a blast. Like, suddenly she makes, like, a 180.
Yeah.
That, like, makes no sense.
In, like, two scenes.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, suddenly, I'm like, I guess people do just change too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that this movie leaves some holes in places to be mm-hmm. like, yeah, this is just, like, life. That's cool. But then also watching her just be happy and then, like, choreographing stuff for the dance company. It's
yeah.
like, so what? Like,
well, it's kind of like, you can be annoying and, like, be rewarded for it.
I know,
you know?
Failing upward for real. Yeah, is the definition of what Frances Ha is about.
Yes.
Like, and everyone wants to fail upward. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, that would be awesome to do.
I would love to fail upward.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
No.
That, like, following your artistic expression thing too reminded me, it always goes back for me for the Maddie Doomscroll podcast, mm-hmm. but he's like, there used to be a economy that supported artists. Like, to an extent, because it would be like you could work a couple of days a week at a coffee shop or restaurant and then still have time to do your creative stuff. Now we're pushed into other, like, you have to make a certain amount of money, which could involve being corporate or like, or working four jobs at once. Like, the economy is just so different now than then that to have these people be your archetypes feels outdated.
Oh, 100%.
And they're still, like you said, coasting off of that, like, we still have the dream mm-hmm. of, like, girl bossing your way into
right into girl boss, like, era, yeah, you
and
know?
It might have also, like, bolstered the community of girl mm-hmm. bosses. Mm-hmm. They're, like, every, like, feminist think piece I see about Frances Ha, I'm like, right, a movie about a white woman is that feminist? Like,
right.
Who's, like, generally fine.
Like, a middle class, you know?
I'm like, yeah, she can have struggle, but, like, I wouldn't call this movie super feminist. Like, In its like, what you said earlier about not being about romantic mm-hmm, stuff, mm-hmm. sure. But it's also, like, still about codependency.
Mm-hmm,
like, ultimately, mm-hmm. like, their relationship is one that's unhealthy in that it's codependent.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, she's trying to, like, bring Sophie down with her into this thing of, like, never wanting to leave that, like, college, post-college
the
bubble.
The fantasy thing
Yeah,
that they
fantasy
have.
Of, like, we'll be best friends. We'll be old women together with no kids. Mm-hmm. And, like, not really being able to handle when, like, that changes with someone else, which I get, you know what I mean? Like, I understand her, like, actions to a certain extent, but it's like, and I don't know. It's just watching these kind of like messy women on screen, it's just kind of like, no, you're just annoying and like socially inept.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, obviously, to compare it to Tiny Furniture and Lena Dunham's movie, that movie's mad funny. Like, it's just funny.
Yeah.
And like a really good critique on the times. Like, I'm pretty sure like the guy that she's seeing is like a YouTube star and that he's getting like 1,000 views.
Weird.
And his character is at like Nietzschean cowboy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like saying existential shit while riding on a toy like horse. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. That's so funny. That's so funny because they're making fun of people
that like do that.
Like layers of satire on it. And then like with Frances Ha, it's like, so please tell me that you see Frances Ha as the villain, as like the ironic character, as like something else. You cannot take this movie at face value.
No, I think the thing that that bothered me about both of these movies is that I think it probably gave a lot of people a pass.
And that's what's scary. That's why it's horrible. The consequences of these movies in real life created like an escape room of a liberal arts college everywhere you turn.
Like if you watch Girls and you related to Hannah, mama, please take a look at yourself.
I'll drive you to the hospital.
Like I don't think Girls like gave them a pass necessarily.
I think that you're quite literally meant to dislike these characters.
Yeah,
and you don't get that so much in Frances Ha because it is so slice of life
and it's so sympathetic and you know, and it's like she wrote it, she starred in it. Again, the call is coming from inside the house. It's like, I don't think you can really satirize it. It's like, it's kind of like Emerald Fennell, you know, where it's like she's trying to satirize this world that she is a part of. But it's like you're not far away enough from it to make like a good point.
Right. Because you can't punch up when you're
in it.
The people benefiting from the things that you are trying to. You're like, you're actually just like flailing around looking stupid at the party, at the ball.
Right. Like you look dumb because you are one of these people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just like your shoes are just uglier than everybody else's here. Like that's the only difference between you. Like you're still invited to the same parties, you're still invited to everything. Like you just look stupid.
And that's why in 500 Days of Summer, I have the same problem because it's like this is based on the screenwriter's relationship. So it's like it feels super pointed in its treatment of the characters. And also, why is he getting advice from his 10-year-old sister?
I like that plot.
Oh.
I like that plot because it's like it feels like a good joke that like this person who is quite literally 10 years old has more knowledge than you, who is like
30?
A stupid guy.
Yeah.
Like that at least is funny to me.
Yeah.
And I think like complicates his character too. Cause it's like, damn, so if this 10-year-old has all this wisdom and stuff, like,
oh, you're that stupid that you need advice from your like 10-year-old sister.
Right. Like that at least feels like in the vein of like satirizing or like, points that signals to us that this character could be satire.
Yes. And I think his character, I think him and like Frances were like super similar and like the victimhood, woe is me, like I have it harder than anyone else. And it's like something that happens to like every single person.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, right. That's like the whole wave of movies from that time. It's just like, I should make this movie because I'm me.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Everybody else has experienced these things, but I'm me, so it's inherently more important than everybody else's. And you have to be, once again, really talented, really funny to be able to have your movie that's pretty much everybody else's life to be made into a movie.
100%. And I, you know what? Like, these are like well-structured movies that are like good on paper. You know, like, it's not like they're bad movies and like, like we said, they do have some good, like, aspects to them. We're not just, like, well, we are trying to dog on them, but,
I walked in on this one being, like, these are horror movies.
Yeah.
These are the scariest things to ever happen to our culture.
Yeah.
Let's bury them. Like, these are zombies.
Yeah, 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 like, coming, like, following us.
Yeah. But loved the casting in both of these movies, mm-hmm, and maybe except for Greta Gerwig.
Ultimately,
stay
like,
behind the camera.
Stay behind
girl.
The camera. Yeah. Like Lady Bird was a mere 5 years away. You yeah. know, like I have a respect for Greta.
Of course, but I mean, like that.
And
movie,
I think she's a really good writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like. Barbie was fun.
Barbie
good casting
was fun.
In Barbie.
I liked her interpretation of Little Women.
Stay behind the camera, though.
Stay
girl.
Behind the camera.
Stay behind the camera.
It's okay.
Yeah. We all love to you. Just like.
Yeah.
When, like what we said in the last episode, you just got to know where you fall in the.
In the scale.
In the
and that's
ecosystem.
Fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Like, not everyone has to write star and everything.
No, you don't have to be a triple threat.
Like, Lena Dunham is a unicorn of people. Like,
yeah.
And it was just for those 5 years. Like,
yeah, and to be 24.
Yeah, you're not going to. There's not that many Lena Dunhams in this history
yeah, yeah,
of life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
don't try.
Yeah.
You don't have to try. We have Benito Skinner now, so
yeah.
we have Benito Skinner, so
it's okay. We're good. We're
yeah,
good for 10 more years.
Exactly. I'm like, we're not gonna get another one of these. So
yeah,
just chill out. We had Mindy Kaling. I'm sounding like Donald Trump.
Oh my.
We got Mindy Kaling. Oh, we got Benito Skinner. It's getting worse. Like, I do the impression too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything else to say?
Chloe Grace Moretz, you'll always be famous to me.
You'll always be famous. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about these ones.
I mean,
watch them though.
Watch them, and you'll pretty much understand that this double feature is just Joker Foley Adu.
Oh my god, yeah.
They are like the final bosses.
It is Joker and Joker Foley Adu, both mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's literally like Joker, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and then Frances Ha is Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think their chemistry was good?
Joseph and Zoe?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I think so too.
They just inherently have something there. Like, that's like one of those couples where it's like, why did it never happen? Like,
I know.
Why didn't it, like, go to the moon or whatever?
Well, she was married to the guy from the Postal Service, so, which makes total sense. Or Death Cab for Cutie. Death Cab for Cutie.
Oof, that dropped for me in my mind. I'm like, Postal Service, rock on.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Death Cab for Cutie.
It's the same band. It's, like, the same guy.
The same guy?
Yeah. Ben
but
Gibbard.
Why is Death Cab for Cutie so, like...
So better.
Is
if same guy, why better?
Well, why so better? Is Death Cab for Cutie the one that's like, I never knew that everything was falling through?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm making weird sounds today. Wait, what was that?
Oh my gosh, wait. I think it's time for
heaven
or
hell. Okay, Jerwin, navy blue and polka dots.
Okay. Going straight to heaven for me.
Of course.
I would even wear it today, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I would.
I wouldn't be afraid. But that hat that Adam Driver wears.
Hell. But what about the cardigan?
Okay. Honestly, the cardigan having a comeback, I'm not mad about right now.
No. And he wears it well because he's 6'5".
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When it's a little tight on a guy too. Hi. Okay.
Jerwin, the cronut.
My card. I'm gonna have to send it to hell because I did make it my personality that I was like going to Mariano's and getting the cronut, being like, this is absolute food science. Food science, yeah, we can probably just like table that.
Yeah.
Put it in hell for a while.
Okay.
Elizabeth, what about the scene in 500 Days of Summer where he's doing karaoke and he's really, really thinking he's eating, and Zooey Deschanel's looking at him like, woo.
When I was 13, absolutely heaven, but upon rewatch, straight to hell.
Yeah, having love be found at karaoke is like,
no.
That.
Like, that's something only a mother could love, you
it
know?
Is, that is so I can't I have rehearsal.
Yeah.
Like, it is so theater kid to an insane degree.
Jerwin, what about like to be in Brooklyn in like 2013?
Okay, that's heaven.
I know.
I think like that's a time capsule.
I think ultimately we dog, but we're jealous and we would trade places in an instant if we could.
It literally is like how you hating from outside the club, you can't even get in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Everyone remember that.
Yeah. But hell to gentrification.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. Take that with a grain of salt.
Take that with a huge grain of artisanal salt.
Yeah.
Okay, Elizabeth, what about having to live in a college dorm room when you're 27?
Absolute hell. I was actually thinking about how horrible that would be.
But that scene is really cute.
No, it is really cute. Jaren, what about friendship?
Oh my gosh, wait. What's even beyond heaven? I'm like, yeah. That is more beautiful than anything in the world.
Than anything, and that's what ultimately everything's about.
Wait, that's a perfect note to end on.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on TikTok and Instagram, it's at RaptureThePod.
Yeah, please do. Please rate and review.
If you do end up watching the movies, like, please be in dialogue with us. If mm-hmm. we've offended you today,
I'm so sorry.
You can absolutely slide into our DMs and we'll talk it out. Like,
it's okay. We're open to conversation.
We're pro social. Like, I'd love for you to change my mind about anything, though you won't. I would love for you to try.
To try. Yeah, yeah, exactly. For sure.
All right.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye. Rapture.